College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in the show, we will be joined by Pitt head coach Kevin Stallings. Want you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes and also check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Harry's. For far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave or you've settled for a low price but low quality razor. Harry's offers something you've never had before, a great shave at a fair price. Good shave, good price. It's simple. Get the best of both with Harry's. Harry's starter set is a great option. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shaving cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code HOOPS. Go to harrys.com right now and look for the Truman set. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Enter code HOOPS at checkout to get $5 off and help support the show. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. And later in this show, again, we're going to be joined by Pitt head coach Kevin Stallings, and we're going to get into all sorts of news and notes around the world of college basketball. Plenty of talk about Villanova and the fact that Amari Spellman, their five-star freshman, has been ruled ineligible for the 2016-17 season. But we start right now with the Pitt Panthers, and it is weird to say right now that I am getting ready to introduce in just a couple of minutes the head coach of the University of Pittsburgh, and it is not Jamie Dixon, because Jamie Dixon was Pitt's head coach for 13 seasons. He led the Panthers to 11 NCAA tournaments during that span, and before that, he was an assistant under Ben Howland for 4 years. So the last 17 years of Pitt basketball have had Jamie Dixon's fingerprints all over the program, and that has left an extremely high bar for Kevin Stallings to follow. He inherits a veteran-laden team, but one that will have to replace James Robinson at point guard. And also, Kevin Stallings for the last 17 years has coached in the SEC. Now, he's stepping into the best league in college basketball. How will Stallings adjust from the SEC to the ACC, and how will he replace James Robinson? We answer those questions next when Kevin Stallings joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Pittsburgh is one of many teams in the ACC this season that will begin practice this week with the hopes of advancing to the NCAA tournament next March. And the head coach of the Panthers joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. He is Kevin Stallings. And coach, I got to be honest with you, it's very weird for me to introduce you as the head coach of Pitt. Is it weird to hear that instead of Vanderbilt?
It's getting less weird, John. I actually had another college coach see me the other day, and I had a Pitt shirt on, and he said, you know, you just don't look right in that shirt. So I've gotten that a few times, and I understand 17 years is a long time to be in one spot, and I was fortunate to be at Vanderbilt for that long, but I've made a change, and I'm excited about the change, and looking forward to it becoming the new me.
What has been the biggest thing that you've learned about Pittsburgh just as a city and a university since you took the job in March that maybe you didn't know before you took the post?
I didn't have any idea how much the city of Pittsburgh loves their teams and their sports. And obviously it begins probably with the Steelers, but the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, we're sort of the de facto professional basketball team here, I think, and we get treated great, but the people of Pittsburgh really identify with, and more so than any city that I've seen, really, really love their teams. And it doesn't matter which team it is, there just seems to be a tremendous amount of loyalty to the teams here.
You know, it's interesting. Certain people switch jobs in college basketball, and everybody kind of knows the tricks of the trade. But your situation was so unique at Vanderbilt because of the academic restrictions that you faced in recruiting. How has it been right now opening up your pool a little bit as you recruit for a school in the ACC like Pittsburgh?
Very refreshing, quite frankly. It's nice to have a larger recruiting pool, and it's fun to be able to go into different environments and recruit different types of kids. It honestly, as long as I was at Vanderbilt, it feels more natural to me this way. It was sort of my orientation, starting with when I was at Purdue and then Kansas and then the head coach at Illinois State. So it's nice to be back to this sort of idea that that there are guys out there that you can really help and guys that you can really benefit by giving them the opportunity to come to a school like Pittsburgh and see the rewards that they can reap and the gains that they can make in their life, not only during the 4 years of college, but hopefully long after that. And so it's an opportunity to recruit a more varied type of young man, which again, I enjoy and embrace and I really look forward to.
Anytime you start a new chapter, Coach, you know, you're always thinking about sometimes the place you left, especially if you're there 17 years. As you've had some time, whether it was on long flights in recruiting or just getting acclimated to Pittsburgh, to sit back and think about your time at Vanderbilt, what are your memories and what are some things maybe you wish that could have went in a different direction?
Well, certainly, I've thought about it, and quite frankly, it's been a little bit more emotional than for me than and maybe not at this juncture, but for the first 2 or 3 months, it was a little more emotional for me than I anticipated that it would be. But the things that I think about when I look back on the time was. Obviously, the relationships you build with the players and the so many wonderful guys that played for you, and whether it be a guy like Matt Frege or Festus Ezeli or Derek Byers and Shane Foster. I mean, there are just so many great guys that played for us there, and guys that went on to have great careers, not only in basketball but outside of basketball, those are the things that you look back and you remember. Obviously, the SEC championship in 2012 was certainly a highlight. The Sweet 16s were highlights, but I think more of the relationships than anything else, and in terms of things that. That I would have changed. I mean, certainly there are some incidents that I would have changed, and some other things like that. But I don't reflect that much and say I wish I had done this or wish I hadn't have done that. It's more for me. It's most of my time is spent looking forward, which I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that I'm a person that looks forward and not back. Because I think that's probably just natural to your wiring, but I'm a guy that just looks forward. And again, do I have some regrets? Absolutely. There are lots of things that I probably would have liked to have done a little bit differently or a lot differently in some instances. But certainly the relationships is the thing that I look back on with great fondness.
Pitt head coach Kevin Stallings joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Well, since we're looking forward, let's look right now at the ACC. Coach, I think there's a legitimate chance that 80% of this league, 12 of the teams, have a real shot not just to go to the NCAA tournament but be ranked in the top 25 at some point this season. As somebody who coached in a good league in the SEC but is now going to what looks like unequivocally the best league in the sport, what are you feeling heading into the ACC, and what have been your impressions from studying it?
Honestly, I haven't studied it that greatly to this point, and I'm reminded of a line that I heard Lou Holtz use one time, and they asked him how he was sleeping you know, I'm sleeping like a baby. I'm waking up every 2 hours and crying when I think that 12 teams might be able to be in the top 25 or whatever. But I do agree with you. I think it's the unequivocally the best league in college basketball. It's going to be an exciting challenge, not only for me, but for this program and our team. But we have some good seniors back. We have a lot of experience on our team, and I think experience these days in college basketball is a rare commodity. And I'm hopeful, and I think you'll understand what I mean when I say this. I'm hopeful that my being new here doesn't neutralize or negate the experience that our team returns. And so, and by that I mean, obviously they're going to have to learn a new way to play, a new way to exist out there on the court with each other and exist with a coaching staff. So I'm hoping that newness doesn't negate the advantage that our experience could create in some instances.
Well, you do like the experience, and you have, you know, several key players back, but you did lose a four-year starter in James Robinson, who was just a rocket point guard. As you move forward, and you obviously know the value of a good point guard, who do you see being the floor general for Pitt in 16-17?
Well, you know what? I think that it could be something that's done by committee. We've got... I would say three guys that have shown in practice that as point guards that I think they will help our team. Jamel Artis, who has been primarily a small forward here, would be the leader in the clubhouse at this point to be our starting point guard. Damon Wilson has certainly shown some signs of being able to be a very, very effective player, whether it be at the point or maybe in another guard spot. And then Justice Kithcart, our freshman, is also a guy that has a tremendous amount of tenacity and toughness to him for a freshman and could figure into the mix as well. But right now I would say Jamel is the guy that has the best chance I've liked the look of him in practice at the point. He's our team's best passer, and again, I think there's a lot of upside to it if he can establish himself as the guy, and hopefully he will. I think he's doing that right now, but hopefully he will continue to do that.
You know, Coach, there was an episode of Seinfeld once called The Bizarro World. And it was like everything was the opposite. And I'm thinking of all the teams that I've covered of yours at Vanderbilt. And I loved watching them because you had a team with shooters and post players. And you always got, you know, your best players' shots at the most opportune positions on the floor. Now I'm looking at your team and you have all these guys who are mid-size and can do different things. How unique is it to coach a different breed of player?
Well, it's different for me because obviously I had the opportunity to sort of try and recruit to the way that we wanted to play at Vanderbilt, and I didn't have the opportunity to recruit any of these guys. Not that I wouldn't have liked to, but you're right. We have a team that primarily is from 6'4 to 6'8. We don't have any real small guys. We have a one or two, but we don't have any real big guys. Most of the guys that are going to play the majority of the minutes are 6'4 to 6'8. And they're multi-skilled. They bring different dimensions, and our bigs can shoot a little bit. Our 6'4 guys can post some. It's a little bit of an inverted team in some ways. But I'm excited about that because I think the flexibility that we will have both offensively and defensively could make us difficult to play against if we can utilize those things in the right capacity. So it will be a little bit of a different team for me, but it's one that I'm really energized about and really excited to coach because of kind of a different approach that we can take with it and in some ways a different approach that we have to take with it. So, but I'm really looking forward to it. But I do think that we could be difficult for people if we can get it right.
Pitt head coach Kevin Stallings joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Panthers in the mix with a lot of other ACC teams as candidates to be in the top 25 next season. Now, Coach, we spent a lot of time talking about, obviously, the team you're getting ready to coach, but you're in position now to have six scholarship seniors leave after this season. What does that mean when you look at the importance of this first recruiting class that you're going to have at Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's John, that may be the most important thing that we're doing right now, because as much time as we need to spend with these guys and getting ready for this season, we have an extremely heavy lift in front of us relative to turn our team over. And like you mentioned, we've got a number of seniors. We have a scholarship that's open, so we could very well be looking at signing 5, 6, maybe even 7 guys, depending on if you have a guy leave, which happens a lot of times in your first recruiting class, or in your first year. But yeah, the good news to that is that we're going to turn the team over, and maybe half of our team is going to be guys that we have then recruited. But the downside of it, obviously, is that your second year, you're going to feel like you're going through year one again, because everybody's going to be relearning and that sort of thing. So it's certainly a critical aspect of what we're doing. We're excited about it. We've gotten a couple of very good commitments already, and we're excited about the direction that is headed. But we still have a lot of work to do with this year's recruiting class, and again, it's going to be critical to our success going forward.
Well, and Pitt really for the last 15 years has been a perennial team in college basketball. Jamie Dixon led this program to 11 NCAA tournaments in 13 years, and Ben Hallen before that won 57 games combined in his last 2 years. How do you ensure that continues this year with the team that you inherited?
Well, I think that the best thing I can do is try to figure out how to put these guys in the best positions for them to succeed, and I would like to think that's a strength of mine as a coach, because I'm not married to one way of playing. I'm not married to a system or to a style. We've always been pretty flexible and tried to fit our style of play around the talents that we've had, and that's what I'm going to continue to try and do. So hopefully my being flexible will help this team, because again, we have to play to our strengths, which I think is what any good team does, and certainly we have some. I mean, Mike Young was an all-league player a year ago. I think he could have a terrific senior year. Again, I mentioned Jamel. Jamel is a guy that's very talented and very skilled, and had a lot of success in the 3 years that he's been at Pitt. I think our other two seniors, Sheldon Jeter and Chris Jones, have probably made as much progress since we've been here as any two players on the team. So I'm very excited about what this senior group can do, the fact that they've sort of been through the basketball wars, if you will, and the rigors of league play. So I'm hopeful that we can continue the tradition that Jamie and Ben and even those people before them have helped establish, and continue the excellence that's been here and hopefully build on it.
What do you think somebody would have told you maybe, 7, 8 months ago if they said, you know what, you're going to coach at Pitt next year, you're not going to be at Vanderbilt? What do you think your reaction would have been?
I would have laughed heartily. I did not see this coming, but I'm excited that it did come. I'm excited that I have this opportunity, and I'm excited to be a part of the ACC and lead this basketball program. And fortunately, it seems like my players are excited that I'm here. And so we're just looking forward to getting started with practice on Friday and being as ready as we can be on November the 11th when our season starts.
How did it happen, Coach, if I can ask? Do you remember where you were?
Oh, yeah, I was down at spring training watching my son play baseball. And I had just finished a TV gig for the NCAA tournament thing there down at Turner over one of the weekends. And my family and I were driving from Bradenton to Fort Myers to see see the Pirates play the Red Sox, and my phone rang, and I was asked if I would have any interest in the University of Pittsburgh job, and I said, let me talk to my family about it, which was convenient because I had them all right there in a car except for my son. And my wife made an interesting comment to me. She said, you know, you've turned down quite a few jobs in the last several years because of timing for our family. She said, make this decision for you. We have one daughter that's left in high school that's a sophomore. We were able to get our other two through school while I was in Nashville. And so I spent a few hours thinking about it, and the more I thought about it, the more my heart got excited about it. And I called them back several hours later and said I would be very interested in having a discussion with you. I interviewed two or three days later and accepted the job about 4 or 5 days later, and that was it transpired very quickly.
You know, you just said how excited you are. I'm wondering if we can save this clip for, you know, about mid-February. We're in your middle of the ACC gamut. I wonder if you'll feel the same way.
You know what? I hope so. That's my prayer, John, is that I'm as excited and energized in January and February. It's like I tell our players on the first day of practice all the time. Every player in college basketball is excited today and is going to play with energy today. It's those people that still have the energy and the excitement in January and February. Those are the ones that are going to be experiencing success. So I better heed my own advice. So I better be. If we talk again in February, I still need to be energized, although I might not be quite as energized as I am today.
Well, Coach, I plan on being in Pittsburgh in a couple weeks. Hope to pop by practice. Appreciate a couple minutes and looking forward to covering you this season and beyond, as always.
We'll look forward to having you here, John. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Pitt head coach Kevin Stallings for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes, and also check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from James, and he wants to know, John, is the MAC a potential two-bid league this year? And look, I don't think that the MAC, and that's the MAC with two A's, the one with Iona and Monmouth and Siena, is a two-bid league, but I think the MAC has a chance to have several teams in postseason tournaments this year. I've seen Iona. I'm going to see Monmouth. I'm going to see CN. I'm going to visit at Fairfield next week. I think this league has been as good as it's ever been. Great depth in this conference. Our next question is going to be from Joseph, and Joseph wants to know, John, are you making a trip to Storrs soon to see UConn, and what are your thoughts on the Huskies? And Joe, I will plan to be at UConn sometime in the next couple of weeks for a practice. I think UConn's a top 25 team, but team with a lot of new pieces. It's going to be really big for UConn to have Rodney Purvis in place to have a dynamite fifth year. We know obviously about what they have in the backcourt, but you have to be obviously in tune with what UConn lost. They lost Sterling Gibbs, they lost Sean Miller, they lost Daniel Hamilton. Those were three highly productive players, but I think the Huskies have a chance in terms of their chemical makeup to kind of emulate what we saw with the 2014 National Championship team. That team had great ball security with Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright in the backcourt with a dual point guard attack. I think you'll see the same thing with this team with freshman Altari Gilbert and also sophomore Jalen Adams. Time now for some news and notes around the world of college basketball. The big news in college basketball, obviously the last couple days, Omari Spellman, the five-star freshman for Villanova, ruled a partial qualifier for the 16-17 season. He will not be eligible to play. Now, people from the periphery might look at this and say, well, there's no way that Nova will have a chance to go back to a Final Four and compete for a national championship. I look at it differently. And I saw Villanova before they went on their foreign tour to Spain over the summer. And Omari Spellman is worth the hype. Omari Spellman is a freak offensively. He can score over either shoulder. He's got great size at 6'10". He's got unbelievable hands. He also has an unbelievable touch from deep. But sometimes when another player is not eligible to play, it opens up an opportunity for the guys behind them. And the guys behind Omari Spellman are really good players. You look at Villanova's starting lineup. Jalen Brunson, Phil Booth, Josh Hart, and Chris Jenkins are all veterans that played a significant role on a team that won the national championship. Now, Jay Wright has always believed in rewarding seniors who have paid the price at Villanova, and I think Darryl Reynolds now, the veteran big man who, again, has been an afterthought and just a role player for the first 3 years of his career, will now step in to the starting center spot for Villanova. Reynolds last year, in three games that Daniel Ochefu did not play, averaged 9 points and 10.6 rebounds. Villanova staff loves his intangibles. They love the way that he screens. They love the way that he finishes. I think Darryl Reynolds is in position to have a great senior year for Villanova. But one thing I think it's important to keep in mind, Villanova, under Jay Wright, has always been known for playing smaller, more skilled lineups. So if Josh Hart is your three-man and Jay Wright opts to shift Chris Jenkins to the five, that means that the four spot is going to be occupied by Mikhail Bridges, who again played key minutes last year, more of a defensive player last year for Villanova, and also Eric Paschal, who was a transfer from Fordham, who as a freshman 2 years ago averaged over 15 points and 5 rebounds a game and has totally changed his body. So yes, Villanova, okay, does not have a low post scorer that can be a freak offensively in Omari Spellman, but they do have guys that are still going to be able to produce. And I will say this, one of the things that I took away from seeing Villanova practice was how would Omari Spellman do defensively when game planning came into play? How would he do when strategy came into play? And teams would try and screen him, roll him, because he wouldn't be able to potentially get out on quicker point guards. I think Villanova has a chance to be more versatile defensively. They're not going to have the same dynamic on offense in terms of having a bona fide low post scorer, but I think you'll see a smaller version of Villanova, and I think you'll see a big year ahead for Darryl Reynolds. I'm also hearing that Shake Milton is likely to start the season as SMU starting point guard. Milton, a 6'5 wing, had a great freshman year for the Ponies, who were 25-25, but missed the NCAA tournament because they weren't eligible, averaged 10.5 points a game. He is the guy that is likely to get the ball following Nick Moore. Want to continue to beat the drum on Florida State as my ACC sleeper, and the reason is this. Last year, Florida State won 20 games, was 9-9 in the ACC, and they only got 11 combined games from two guys who could have potentially started at the 4 and the 5, Phil Kofor and Mike Alojo, due to injury. And here's an unbelievable stat. When you think of Florida State under Leonard Hamilton, you think of teams that were unbelievable defensively. Florida State last year allowed opponents to shoot over 44% from the field. Knowles still won 20 games. They still went 9-9 in the best league in the country, and that was without, again, Phil Kofor and Mike Alojo, and they add a potential one-and-done player in Jonathan Isaac. I saw St. Joe's last week. I think it's a bridge year for the defending Atlantic 10 champions. I don't think St. Joe's will be an upper echelon A-10 team this year. Also saw Iona last week. Business as usual for Tim Clouse and company, who will have one of the best offensive guards at the mid-major level in Deshaun Mutch. Averaged 13 points a game last year. I think he's going to be up in the 17-18 range this year and make over 100 three-point shots. I am off on the road this week. I'm heading to Northern California to visit with St. Mary's, Stanford, San Francisco, and Cal. Looking forward to seeing the Bears practice on Friday in Berkeley. Looking forward to taking a look at Ivan Rabb, a guy I think can be a first-team All-American and a legitimate National Player of the Year candidate. Would also like to thank Pitt head coach Kevin Stolen for joining the show. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.